Hello, I'm Sarah James, a lifestyle blogger and self-help aficionado.
And I'm Kristen Howerton, a writer and psychotherapist.
And you are listening to Selfie, a weekly podcast in the Life Listen Network about two women embarking on a self-care bender.
We're both of the opinion that self-care is important, and yet it's elusive. And while we may have all the information we need, we don't always get there.
We want to explore different aspects of self-care, from the silly to the serious, looking at body, mind, and spirit, and also just some random topics thrown in there for good measure.
We also want to look at the defenses and distractions that keep us from caring for ourselves like we should.
Okay, hey guys. Today we are going to be interviewing Gabrielle Blair, who is the force behind designmom.com, which is one of my favorite websites. Mm-hmm. And she also...
Oh, it's really truly one of my favorites.
Oh, it really truly is. Because it's not just design, right?
It's not.
Not at all. And then she also started Altitude Summit, which is a conference for creatives that you and I have both been to many times. And it literally sells out in hours when they announce it. It is such a cool conference. So we're talking to her today about the whole intersection of design and self-care.
Which is fun because I'm sure our listeners have gleaned this at this point. But you and I are kind of design junkies.
Yes, yes.
Like, we care a lot.
Yeah, we care a lot. Now, I don't care as much as my husband, but I do still care a lot.
Well, that's good because you're married to an interior designer. I feel like if he wasn't there, stepping up. You know what I mean?
No, that's totally true. That's totally true. But I will say, I'm very the function of design is very, very important to me. And we talk a lot about that today with her and how that affects, you know, your self-care.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if you don't already, you should check out Design Mom's Instagram feed. It's interesting because not only does she post about design, but she's always asking these fascinating questions. Like, there was a big conversation about medical marijuana yesterday. She asks about religion. She's a really interesting person.
Yes. I remember that she just recently asked about, you know, do you consider God a female or male or a genderless? She's always got so many interesting things to talk about. So very cool. So what's happening with you? Give me an update.
Well, you know, I am continuing on my ablation journey.
The ablation journey.
But I'm just very excited about my ablation. And which, if you're not familiar, it is a procedure that burns the lining off of your uterus so that you, in most cases, no longer have a period and also no longer have painful periods. So I have just been going through the paces. I had to get my blood levels done, which I'm going to talk about in a second.
The suspense.
I had to get a pelvic ultrasound. So I got the approval for the ablation in the mail.
Nice. Very, very, very good.
Which I apologize for the knocking that you might be hearing. I have painters here. Because in addition to the ablation journey, I'm also on a remodeling journey.
Well, so yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I get the approval in the mail and listen to what they wrote on it. Whatever clerk was approving it, it said, approved for surgery to private part.
Are you serious?
So I don't know if the person doing it was 10 because my 11-year-old can use the right word for body parts, but I'm going to have a surgery to a private part. We can't use the word uterus, apparently.
Wait, that's really, do you think it's more a HIPAA thing? Like they can't say it no matter what it is?
Well,
that's just weird. That's so weird.
No, because the other paperwork says like pelvic ultrasound or mammogram of the breasts. I just thought it was so funny. Like I took a picture of it.
That's hilarious. Well, I hope everything goes well with you and your private part.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
plural.
It. Oh, but yeah, so I get my blood levels back and you know what? For the first time in my entire life, I had high cholesterol.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if I've talked about this, but I have been doing a low-carb, high-fat diet since December. Mm-hmm. Never in my life have I had high cholesterol, and now I do.
Do you have a family history?
It's shaking me. No.
Okay, so
I think it's because I'm eating bacon and eggs all the time.
Yep.
Which there's all this stuff that's like, no, if you do, you know, keto, it actually can help your cholesterol, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just kind of like, well, I've never had problems. And you know me, I've always eaten fairly healthy my entire life.
Right.
I decided to do keto because I gained a lot of weight during my divorce. And I just wanted the thing that, like, I see everybody losing all this weight on, which right. It has been effective.
Right.
But it has been a real struggle for me to eat like this because I don't love meat and fat. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm a little shaken. I'm a little bit just like, do I keep going on this?
No. Here's the thing. I remember when I was doing paleo and stuff, there actually were lots of studies that showed that eating those high fat diets did not affect cholesterol. But why I'm telling you to stop is obviously something has been triggered, something's happening. And if you just logically look at it, what has changed? Your diet has changed. What I would do is go back to a more plant-based type diet, not be eating so many high fats, the bacon, the meats, all that stuff, and just have your cholesterol retested in a couple of months. And if it's still high, then you're going to know, okay, it wasn't the way I was eating, it's something else. But if it changes, then you know. I would definitely, because that's the first thing I would go to.
I know. I agree. Except it's so frustrating because at the same time, the diet's been effective. Right. I don't want to do this for my whole life. This is not how I like to eat. I like to eat fruits and vegetables right. and stuff that came out of the earth.
Right.
But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to get to a baseline weight and then, you know, kick right. myself in the ass and then go back to my normal plant-based eating. But now I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because it's like, this weight thing has been a struggle because I've got adrenal fatigue and blah, blah, blah. And I finally found something that worked and it's like making me not healthy.
Okay. So do you mind me asking how high was the cholesterol? Was it high?
Shoot. No, it was like a couple numbers. I want to say that like 99 is the cap and I was at 105.
Okay. Well, okay.
So it wasn't crazy, yeah. But I just have never had anything flag like that.
Yeah. That is freaky. That's really freaky.
It wasn't crazy high.
What's the exercise like right now for you? Well, you know.
Not good.
That could be your other option. If you want to stay on the diet, then if
you're right, that's what I need to do.
You need to start exercising more. And I bet you $1 million that will drop it. If it's some sort of like inconsistency with this way you're eating and stuff, if you add in the exercise, I think, and plus it's a win-win because you're going to be eating, which is eating in a way it's helping you lose weight. Plus you'll be exercising. So you'll just lose weight faster. Do that then. I'm your doctor.
I feel like, though, you know what? I feel frustrated with myself. I'm going to admit this right now on this self-care podcast, mm-hmm. that I'm even sitting here having a conflict over whether or not to go off of an unhealthy diet because I want to be skinnier. Like, this is not the body positivity that I want to be modeling for myself or others.
No.
And yet.
But you know, it's a diet that a lot of people are on. We do not know if it's dangerous. And you're losing weight. And like you said, this is not a permanent lifestyle change for you. You want to go back to eating more plant-based foods. It's just you're trying to get to a baseline. And hey, I think a lot of people could admit to doing things like that, just trying to get to the baseline. And the thing is, too, you could up your greens. I mean, that's not adding calories. So you could just be adding in more leafy greens to help combat that.
That's true. I can probably figure out how to do this diet in a way that is cholesterol healthy. And I don't want to say that I'm bashing the diet. I have a friend who has lost like an extraordinary amount of weight doing keto. And, you know, a friend who has been struggling, you know, for a very long time. So, I mean, I know that it can be effective for people. It just, and I just was also surprised at like how that affected me.
Well, it's scary, but hopefully it's just one of those things. It was just a couple of points above, and next time you get tested, it will be back below threshold.
Hopefully.
And you know what? I mean, hello, what raises cholesterol as well? Stress. So, you know, I mean, that's another.
You know what? I did not think about that, but that is probably a massive factor here because my stress is sky high.
For sure. For sure.
Anyway, that is, that's what I'm dealing with right now. What's up with you?
Well, we'll get it figured out. You'll get it figured out. I think with exercise and changing up your diet a little bit, it'll get figured out. But okay, I have to tell you this story that happened to me because it has to do with a couple of our listeners. It was like the most random thing ever. So I was in Dallas last week for the Indie Beauty Expo, which is like this big trade show for all of these independent beauty brands. And it's a great time for me to go actually be face-to-face with a lot of the brands that I work with online. So they had this big trade show and it's in this huge building and it's just like packed with people and they have a valet out front. So you can imagine it's like tons of people in their cars. Anyway, I got there early. I got to go in early before it opened to kind of check everything out, which was nice. And I kind of was in there and out of there. So I left the expo when it was just, people were just arriving for it. So there was like a valet line, literally like for a block. And these, it was really cool. It's an all female valet company. It was really cool. It was all women that were doing valet, but they were running their butts off. So anyway, they pull up my car. I get in my car and I'm actually going to meet my sister who just so happened to be in Dallas for dinner. But all the way across Dallas, like on the other side of Dallas. And I don't know if you've spent any time in Dallas, but the traffic in Dallas getting from one side of the city to the other is very much like LA. I mean, it's just horrendous. So I had given myself like 45 Horrible. Minutes. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'll see you there in an hour. So I drive all the way to this restaurant to meet my sister and I pull into the parking lot. And for some reason, thankfully, I did not turn my car off because it was really hot outside. I got out to like look in my back hatch for something. And when I got back into my car, a little warning sign came on and said, key fob is not, you know, not in the car. If you turn your car off, it will not turn back on. And I realized that the valet, because I have a key fob, like a wireless key fob, you know, not something that actually turns in. I realized the valet had not put my key fob back in my car. So my key fob.
So you're driving, but.
Yeah, it's still going because the way cars work these days is if you already have the car started with the key fobs around, you can drive the car until you turn it off. And then when you turn it off, you won't be able to turn it back on. Well, keep in mind, I'm in Dallas, which is 300 miles from my home. Okay. I'm in a car running and I know if I turn my car off, it will never turn back on. And I'm just like, whoa. So I call my sister and I'm like, I'm so flipping annoyed at this point. I'm so mad that I have to drive all the way across Dallas to go get my freaking key fob that the valet forgot to put in my car. So I drive all the way back. I pull up. It's still completely crazy. Someone runs up to my car. They're like, you're in the wrong lane. I'm like, no, listen, you brought me my car. You haven't given me my key fob. They're like, oh, that's not possible. They're totally pushing back on me. It's just packed. There's cars everywhere. People are honking. And
oh my gosh.
I know. I'm having like a mini panic. I'm just so stressed out.
This is you and I's personal nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Situation. Exactly. And so finally the girl, they're like, which girl is it? And there's literally like 13 girls with ponytails running around all over the place. I'm like, I don't know. I think that one. Anyway, the whole time this is happening, I've wedged my car into this line and like, it's just, cars are having trouble getting around me. And there's this car facing me and there's these two girls in the car and they're just staring at me and they're smiling during this whole time. This is like 15 minutes of me talking to the valets, trying to figure things out. They still can't find my key fob, but these girls just keep on smiling. And I'm like, what the hell are these girls looking at? Like, I'm so frustrated. They bring my fob. They find my fob in some weird basket. They're like, here you go. I'm like, oh, thank you. And that car pulls up. They roll down their window. They're like, we love your podcast. Random.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like,
oh, my gosh.
Out of all places, they probably watched me just like almost. I was so annoyed with this whole situation. And it just happened to be two girls that listened to our podcast. So, hi.
That is so funny.
And I was just
I swear to you, though, those are always the situations where – someone knows me from the internet. Like I'm losing my crap on my kids in the store. Or I had a woman like try to strike up a conversation with me who read my blog while it was a child's birthday. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. It was Karis's birthday. I had 10 6-year-olds at an ice cream shop all trying to order specific flavors and toppings.
Oh yeah, at one time.
Mm-hmm. Can you even imagine? And she's trying to talk to me, and I'm so frazzled already that I'm sure I was not graceful. And then she came to my Facebook page and, like, ripped me a new one for, like, being a bitch in person and not being nice.
Oh,
and I was just like, well, I was just like, listen, if you cannot read a room and see a mother in stress, like, I'm sorry for you.
Right. But they were so sweet. I was like, well, thank you so much. That's so awesome. I'm glad you guys like it. They're like, yeah, you guys are doing a great job. It was a nice little ending to a complete disastrous ballet situation. So yeah, it was cool.
I tell you what, we have the nicest listeners. And
we do.
And our little Facebook community has become such a warm little bubble. It reminds me of back in the days of like message boards.
Yes.
We've had such good conversations this week over there.
Yeah.
People are being very vulnerable about like relationship stuff and looking for advice, and they're getting amazing advice. I talked about this imposter syndrome that I've been dealing with. Like, I've got some exciting stuff happening in my life, but I'm reacting in a really weird way of like not being joyous. And
right.
And when I talked about it, like, I think like 50 people were like, I have this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about night sweats.
Oh, for sure.
Which is a thing.
It's a thing.
We've talked about kids and screen time. There was a good conversation on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a couple people did go and buy the Mod Cloth bathing suits.
I know.
And they posted.
Yeah. And I got some really good sizing information too, by the way, through those comments on that Mod Cloth. It's been fantastic.
And then one of our listeners told us a story of going to the doctor after listening to your story of dropping your pants. And she remembered that, and she only dropped trow halfway down instead of her first impulse, which was all the way to her feet.
I'm so glad, Sarah, I could help you. Yes.
You are helping everyone. You're helping the world.
I'm helping the world. Don't drop your pants all the way to the floor, people.
Not all the way, guys.
Not all the way. Mm-mm.
Just a little cheek.
Just a little cheek. Upper cheek. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we've got two thumbs up we got to talk about still, right?
We do. Well, my first one is a good one for self-care.
Ooh.
I finally got a weighted blanket.
Oh, I want one of those.
I know. I have been wanting one forever. So if you're not familiar, a weighted blanket is exactly what it sounds like. It's a blanket that they have sewn. I think it's kind of like a chainmail kind of a thing into it, so that the entire blanket weighs 10 pounds. And it has been shown to be incredibly effective for both sensory processing issues, which I have, and for anxiety, which I also have. So if you are someone who suffers from anxiety, or if you are sensory defensive, meaning, you know, you can get anxious in bright lights or loud noises, it's just a really calming and soothing thing. You put the blanket on you. It's like a big warm hug. It is amazing.
Oh, I have been reading about those for quite some time, and I want one so badly. It's the reason I really believe this is why I don't sleep well in hotels. When you're at a hotel and there's just not enough blanket on top of you, and I just can't ever get like calm down. I can't drift off into sleep.
Totally.
So I would imagine I would just be super cozy and like nodding off to sleep really quickly with the weighted blanket.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, my kids keep stealing mine. And I did a lot of research on different weighted blankets, because I will say some of them look a little utilitarian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they just look like, I don't know. I'm also picky about fabrics. Mm-hmm. So the one that I ended up getting is from a website called pattyandricky.com, but it's Patty with an I. So Patty with an I and Ricky.com. And I'll link up to this in our Facebook group. But they do it with a minky material. You know what minky is?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that really soft, soft, kind of like a chenille. And it's gray, so I feel like it matches everything. But I'm loving it.
That's so cool. I want to get one. I think my son would really benefit from a weighted blanket. So, yeah, thank you.
I think he would.
Thank you for doing the research for me.
You're welcome. Well, PattyandRicky.com.
PattyandRicky.com.
And then my other thumbs up is a book that I just finished. Our book club just read the book called Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng, N-G. Mm-hmm. It was really good. It was just a really fascinating fiction book that it really explores mother-daughter relationships and our relationships with our parents. It looks at biology. It looks at chosen family. It had a lot of really interesting, I don't want to give too much away, but a lot of very interesting adoption themes. It really just was like a book about motherhood in all of its forms. And it was one of those books where when I got to the end, it was just like so satisfying. Like that was a great book that made me think. It was a great book club discussion. So I definitely recommend that one. Little Fires Everywhere. It's just a novel.
I'm going to get on that one too. So here, my two thumbs up, I have the first one. Okay. So, you know, I've been singing the praises of my One Love Organics Foaming Facial Cleanser that I love so much that I've used.
Oh, you love that.
I mean, I love it. And trust me, there've been some converts that have been popping up in our community as well that have said, I bought it. I tried it. I love it. Thank you. So anyway,
yes,
but it's more of just a gentle foaming cleanser. I found this new cleanser by Suki, which I've never heard of this brand before, but it's a totally clean skincare brand. And it's really affordable, way less than a lot of the green or clean ones out there. And it's this, it's called the Suki Exfoliate Cleanser. And it looks like a scrub. When you open it up, it looks like a sugar scrub. And it's made of sugar and coconut oil. And it has like some essential oils that make it smell citrusy. And at first I thought, this is not going to work on my face. But for some reason, when it hits water on your face, it turns into the silkiest lather. Like I don't even know how it works.
Interesting.
But it still keeps a little bit of the grain in it. I don't know. It's become my favorite thing ever to use in the morning. I definitely use the other one at night to take off my eye makeup. But in the morning when I wake up, I put a little bit on this and it smells like fresh and citrusy and wakes me up. And it's like the silkiest lather. And I think it's like a big pot of it's $36. And that's really good for organic
skincare. Oh my gosh.
Skincare.
I'm so ordering this. I'm ordering it.
So
as we speak.
So good. So good.
And it's a pretty color. It's like bright yellow.
Yeah, it's bright yellow.
So FYI, they do have a 1 ounce size for $12.
Yes, you can try it out,
people. That is really reasonable.
Yes. So I, of course, will link to that in the Facebook group and in the notes. And then my second one is something that I spoke about earlier. I think it was in passing, and a lot of people have asked me about it. So I just wanted to go ahead and tell you guys about what I give my kids, their probiotic gummies. My daughter.
Yes, you've gotten a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. So it's Digestive Advantage. They're probiotic gummies plus fiber. So not only are there probiotics in there, but my daughter has trouble. She's not super regular. And I have to, she's done so many scoops of Miralax in her day and stuff. But this is something that she takes every day for her probiotics, but it has just the right amount of fiber that it really helps her to be regular. And these are not just for kids, they're for adults too. So anyone can take these. So if you are not super regular and are looking for probiotics plus a little bit of fiber, these are exceptional. And when she takes these, she has no problems with constipation. When she stops taking them, within about 5 days, we're right back to where we started. So they're amazing. I love them.
Okay, so here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you buy, because I know they have this specific to kids, do you buy the kids version or do you buy the adult version and give her like a half dose?
So I'm glad you pointed that out. Actually, there's only one version with the fiber, and the fiber component is the most important. I'll link to these specifically because if you're looking, you're probably looking at the there's probiotic gummies for adults and kids, but there's only one bottle of the probiotic gummies plus fiber.
Well, it's interesting. I have found like a lot of times products that are aimed at kids are more expensive and it's more economical.
Yes.
Like I use those smart Smarty Pants vitamins.
Oh, the Smarty Pants, yes.
And so I just give, yeah, which I love, but I just give my kids a half of the adult dose because the adult dose is like 4 gummies. So I give them 2 because if I bought the kids, it's like more expensive per day.
Oh, totally. I was so happy when my son hit the weight limit for allergy medicine, so where he could just actually take the pill, because I was spending so much money on children's Zyrtec. It was just ridiculous how much money that cost.
It is.
And now he just takes the adult one, you know, and it's like, oh, pop a pill, tiny little pill.
Which
oh my gosh.
You can get at Costco for nothing.
Totally. Yes, exactly. So yes, those are my 2 thumbs up for the week.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's get talking to Gabrielle.
Okay, Gabby, thank you so much for joining us today. So I want to talk a little bit for listeners who are not familiar. You run a blog called Design Mom. It is, no kidding,
people.
One of my favorite blogs.
So good.
Oh, that's super nice.
Well, how did all of that start?
A long, long time ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, so like you guys, I've been doing this a long time. This is, July is 12 years for me. So that makes us OG bloggers. If you're not,
we are OG bloggers.
Range,
OG.
Right?
Yes.
And, really I had just had baby number 5. I'd been working in New York as an art director and had baby number 5. I was on maternity leave and blogs were happening. And I had, toyed with the idea of like an essay blog, or like, but I really had no writing skills then. And then I discovered sites like Design Sponge and Apartment Therapy. Mm-hmm. And at the time, remember, this is pre-Pinterest and Instagram.
Yeah. Right.
And so a blog post, you do like 3 a day and it'd be like image. And then like, I like these shoes. You know, like that was
right.
A blog post, right?
It was your personal Pinterest.
Right.
Yes.
And you might do something a little longer form, but it was like, as far as design blogs go, it was, that's really all it was. And so you were posting multiple times a day, just like whatever you found. And so I was like, oh, I can do that. You know, like that I can do, because writing I was so slow at. But obviously things have changed over the years.
Right.
And now I do almost all long form, you know,
mm-hmm.
very long posts.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, no longer 3 a day, because I'm, you know, posting on Instagram or on Facebook. Or
so many of the platforms.
Yeah,
so many
places.
But what I love about your blog, too, is that while it did start as a design-oriented blog, I do believe you talk about all different kinds of topics.
You do.
And you do it in such a lovely way that really brings people together. And I have to say, if you go to Gabby's blog and look at her comment section,
mm-hmm.
you know, I read some of the most poignant comments there.
Comment
yeah,
section.
A lot of discussion.
Community.
Yeah.
It's really good. I did a survey for the first time in a long time, maybe, I don't know, 10 years or something, in January. And I have really well-educated readership.
Yes.
They all have more degrees than I have, for sure. and they're really thoughtful. And anyway, so it's really, the feedback was really interesting, but it was like, oh, these are really smart, thoughtful women. No wonder the comment section is so good. Like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's fantastic. Right. My favorite on your blog is you do a series called Living with Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
every Tuesday.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you just show interesting homes of people that have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they are inspirational, yet they're realistic.
They're realistic.
I really love that
series. I really try to do a range. So, you know, some people are really designy and they're going to have this gorgeous house, and you may have already seen that house on Apartment Therapy,
right?
You know, somewhere else, because it's like a showpiece house,
right?
I love those houses, fantastic. You know, it's like, oh, they're so dreamy. And other people are regular people that are want a nice, lovely home for their family, but are not going to dedicate their life
to
this, right? And totally valid way to live, like that's totally fine,
absolutely.
And but they want to share off their home and what their family's like. And at first I really thought it was going to be just like design focused, but then, you know, other people reached out. There was like, okay, they're brave enough to like send me pictures of their home. They're proud of their home.
Mm-hmm.
They should be. People should be proud of them. That's great. You know,
mm-hmm.
like they love their home. Wonderful. Let's do it. Let's interview them. Like, let's see what it's like. So some of the houses are considered, you know, I'll get emails going, oh, I like that. It's like a regular house. I'm like, it is. It's a regular
house. It's a regular house.
Yeah. They still cleaned it up for the photos, of course, you know, like all of that. But they're not, it doesn't look like it's out of catalog, and they don't know how to, you know, they didn't come in and like style it for a photo shoot or, you know, bring in extra pillows and whatever, which is exactly what happens. It's all pretend.
Yes.
So,
I know this.
So they, it's just a real home. And really, the interviews are so much about parenting as well. And
yeah, they are. They're great.
People really bare their soul.
They do.
Now, this became a book, correct?
No, actually. I mean, I wanted it to become, like, that was the first book I pitched. So I was getting pressure to do a book.
Okay.
I had a publisher that really wanted to do a book. And I was like, what's it going to be? And then we toyed with the idea of, like, well, what if we just sort of do the highlights from Living with Kids, the series? And ultimately, she wanted something, she wanted it more about my thoughts and my
So
it's called Design Mom, How to Live with Kids. It sounds
That's right.
But it's actually, I go room by room and kind of give you ideas on, like, look, here's how to love your space and how your kids can love it too. And it can be beautiful for your family, but also super functional and accomplish the goals you want to accomplish.
Well, you just said actually earlier that you're having your fifth kid. So can we talk about how many children you have?
Okay, so so it's true. When I started the blog, my fifth child was 2 months old. And my oldest would have been 8.5 or 9. And then a few years later, I had number 6. And that's where we stopped.
Yeah.
And she is turning 8. So, again, I've been doing this for a long time. And, yeah, it's crazy. So my oldest daughter was 7 when I started this, and my youngest daughter is 7 now. So I'm like, whoa.
I know. It is crazy.
So
we were pregnant at the same time.
We were.
I know.
So wild.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we wanted to chat with you about, you know, it's interesting because you run a blog about design, and Sarah's husband's an interior designer, and while she likes to say that he does everything, I'm here to report that she's got a very good eye. And I don't do anything with design professionally, but it is very important to me. And I will say that the way my home looks really affects my mental health and the way that I feel about things.
Absolutely.
It's really important for me. I mean, how does design fit in with self-care?
Oh, I love that question. The first thought that comes to mind is, if anyone has ever done renovation or just moved into a house, which I know the two of you are.
We're just, like, looking at each other
every year, every other
like
year.
Tears coming out.
It's pretty, you can have kind of trauma from it. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. And so when we moved into our most recent move, I mean, I had a full-on breakdown a few months after that, but anyway, but putting that aside, it hadn't been touched. It was this lovely couple in their 90s that sold us the house. They've since both passed away. I mean, it was just this very special thing that we got this house. His name was Oscar. I have an Oscar son. Anyway, it was lovely. But they were very old, and they hadn't really touched the house since the early 80s. And they left it totally furnished. Like, they just, like, walked just away.
Goodbye.
We were moving from France, and they were trying to do us a favor. And so they, like, here. It was like,
oh.
So you're like, you know, you have the blender that was like, this was like my mom's wedding gift blender. Like, I know this blender. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, so, or you just, like, the whole house is just really, really kind of old stuff. And not in a cute way, necessarily. Anyway, so we're like, okay, we got to slowly go through, take out carpet here, there's wood under that, or, you know, all those things. And it's just overwhelming, and nowhere in the house feels like I can sit down and just be comfortable. If I sit down in any room, I'm instantly making a list of, okay, we're just gonna do this, we're gonna do this, and then if we, you know, anyway.
Right.
And it's overwhelming. So what I ended up doing is really just starting with a couple of small pockets that I could do, like a manageable piece that I could do quickly, and quickly is relative, I know, but like, so we did a hallway, you know, like, which is weird, but like we got cubbies in for backpacks and added hooks for coats and stuff, and really made it pretty, you know, which I know that sounds weird, but
no,
it kind of, we need like a mud room kind of thing.
Yes.
So it's an empty hallway, and we're like, we made it work. And it was like, okay, there's a little something, like, I can, if I'm freaking out, I can, like, stand in the hallway for a minute, and, like, there's no list. And then we did, like, the reading loft, which is such, like, a kid thing, and it was, like, it's tiny.
It's adorable,
8x8 or whatever, you know, it's, like, a tiny little thing, but I just, like, did it, because it's this big, it's a tiny little box, and so it's like, oh, I can do that, you know, like, even if you want, you know, a nice carpet is, you don't need a very big carpet. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, so I could do it just the way I wanted, because you didn't need much for it. And I would, you know, you have to go climb this ladder to get to it. I'm like, I'm going to go sit up there. And I need a little place, you know, because the construction and just all of it, it gets to be too much. So
it's,
I feel like,
it
for mental health, if you can even, so my sister's redoing her living room right now, and she really wants to do the whole house. And she hired an interior designer. And anyway, but she doesn't have a big budget. And so she was like, called me to say, what do I do? I said, look, I know you. You're going to be tempted to do a little in each room.
Right.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Take one spot or, you know, around the mantle or whatever, you know, one section. Mm-hmm. Make it just the way you want.
Make it your happy place.
Yeah. Make it perfect. Do exactly. Yeah. Don't make your no compromises here. This is one small section, you know, where you don't have to go, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just at least have that.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, go from there. But that was my recommendation because that is what worked for me. And I thought it would probably work for my sister who has a similar brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so I think it's a real thing. If you're, do you hate where you live?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to feel comfortable there.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I'm completely behind what you're saying about just maybe one room at a time or one space. Because at least that space, you feel safe, comfortable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I'm sitting here thinking, and you're talking about this and Kristen right now is going through renovation where they are adding a second floor to her house and she's living in it.
Whoa.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Well, I just am really grumpy.
Yeah. All the time. There have been so many times since we podcast remotely like, Kristen, I hear some like jackhammering in the background, you know, and I think to live in that space.
So wait a minute, you're in the main floor.
Yes.
Construction's happening above you.
Above
all the time.
Me. Yeah.
Your house is full of dust, I can guarantee.
Oh, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Pardon me, that's just
full
what
of dust. But you know what? Here's the thing I will say, because this is my, I don't know, sixth renovation.
Yeah,
yes.
you're not.
I enjoy the process, and
really?
I really love making my home what I want it, like exactly how I want it to be.
Yeah.
I'm not the person who would buy a turnkey home because I want to change every single surface. Lest this sound very privileged, I will also say that a part of the reason I renovate homes is it's how I can afford to live in Southern California.
Sure.
So I buy the cheapest home on the block.
Got it.
And then I figure out the most creative and expensive way that I can change every surface of that home.
Yeah.
And
you do an excellent job at that.
Yes,
you do.
I am real familiar with IKEA kitchens and laminate countertops.
Totally.
Right? But I it's worth it to me for the end result to feel like my home is a reflection of my personality in every single way. And that the things on the walls and the surfaces, that everything feels like something I pulled together myself. And I know it's not, everyone's not like that.
Right.
But that is, I don't know, that's a part of self-care for me is my home. And I'm the person, and you guys are probably the same way, I would like splurge on furniture. That's where I would splurge.
Mm-hmm.
Never on a dress, not on a vacation
on a trip.
But
that
velvet sofa, I'll throw down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're both introverts. Gabby, would you?
I feel like when I test, and I haven't done, and I came in when you guys were talking about Enneagram, but I haven't done that test. But when I've been tested on other personality types, I really seem to fall right in the middle.
Yeah, I would think that about you.
Yeah,
because I see both sides of that. But for an introvert, definitely, I think that's one of the reasons making your house just exactly how you want it, because you spend a lot of time there.
Right.
That's how I am. You know,
no,
I prefer. Our bedroom, we have a master bedroom upstairs. It's the only room upstairs. It's this little suite, and I'm up there a lot.
Yeah,
spend a lot of time out there. I'm like, yeah, I do. Reading my books, doing my stuff, you know, it's important.
And I know this is, maybe this is only tangentially related, but design, something simple design can affect your parenting. I mean, just little things like, okay, if you have a trash can that doesn't work, maybe it's one of those you push the pedal and or you know, something,
right,
and it bugs you every time. You get up, you start the day, you use this thing, you're already in a bad mood. Because you're like, it bugs
that
you,
is
or
so
you
true.
Reminded you need to replace it, you actually need to replace it literally for 6 months or whatever it is. And now you're grumpy to your kids. I mean, like, those dumb little things, or you have the furniture in the wrong configuration and you trip over this corner of the cabinet every time, or, you know, whatever it is. So dumb little things like that, which are design, you know, problems that you can fix.
Right. Right.
They affect how your relationships with your family are and all sorts of things like that. I mean, like, you have this picture in your head of wanting to have, like, really great conversations with your kids about current events.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's on your coffee table?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there anything that's going to spark that kind of conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to have conversations in the same room where you keep all the screens? Like, it's not going to work. Like,
right.
You know, I,
oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
That's all design.
It is. It is all design. I also think, I mean, especially, you know, if you have a lot of children, as you mm-hmm. and I both do, I think there really is something to that organization of design, too, of mm-hmm. knowing exactly where everything goes. And every kid
that's
knows
for real.
Where everything goes. And you have the spot for your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
yes.
And when you empty the dishwasher, you know where everything
mm-hmm.
goes. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that that allows kids to be more independent and
for sure.
frees you up as a parent from having to, like, you know, supervise every time someone has to clean.
Totally. It's like if they know... This is what the room looks like when it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
This is what everyone, let's take a little tour.
Yes.
This is what it looks like.
Imprint it in the brain.
In our house, we call that baseline.
Love
this is baseline.
Yeah. This is baseline. So if I ask you to clean the room, this is what it's going to look
mm-hmm.
like when you're done,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and that can't happen if there's not a place for everything. You know what
no,
I mean? Like
can't.
And we always have a room in the house where that's not the case because it's an ongoing whatever.
Yeah.
And our family changes all the time. So I'll be like, oh, I love the office. And then 3 years later, it's like the office is no longer meeting our needs. It's a mess. You know, it's a mess. There's no basement.
The office
anymore.
Is now a storage closet.
Yeah, the office is just the junk room for the next few months or whatever.
Gosh.
Like, and that's so, but the rooms that we like to be in
mm-hmm.
have a place for everything.
Right.
You know, no question. And if you get it right, everyone wants to be there.
Yeah.
So we did our family room last year. We had done it when we first came in, but then that was for little kids, and we've been there long enough now. It's older
yeah.
kids. We needed to redo it. It wasn't making sense anymore. We had all these musical instruments that need to be incorporated, and we redid it. We hadn't spent time in there in ages. It'd been like over a year. It was like a walkthrough to the
mm-hmm.
to another room. Like, we just didn't use it.
Right.
We're almost in it. I mean, we're in it all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if
right.
you redesign it,
see,
get it
right,
and solve the problems.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, we're having game night all the time. We haven't played a board game in, I don't know, literally years.
That
oh,
funny?
That's fantastic.
I do
yeah.
think design can really affect things. It's funny because I'll tell a story about my daughter, India, who's here in the room. but I redid her room, and I added a lot of shelving, which she was missing. I really created a space for every single thing. And then
mm-hmm.
I just redid it to be a little more tween.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking expensive, you know, but the new bedspread from Target, you know,
mm-hmm.
some things on the walls. And she went from being a kid who struggled to keep things clean to, because she knew where everything went and because she had the pride of the way that her room looked,
yeah.
she keeps it immaculate now.
Nice.
Nice job.
Well, I have a similar story even with my husband, with Ben. So we redid our master bedroom, and it was the last kind of section of the house that we tackled. It was like,
mm-hmm.
we did all the kind of the public spaces first. And anyway, we finally did it, and we had a proper closet because it had been weird. It was a weird, like, the toilet was in one room, the sink was in another room, and then you had to walk through the hallway. It was just a weird space.
Right.
We finally redid it, and he's like, oh, I'm not a slob.
It makes sense.
It was too complicated to even get your clothes to the hamper because it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had to go through
yeah.
four different rooms to even, you know,
oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
you on that.
Again, if you nail it, if you get it right. And I think it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like to sit with the space. And with this one, I had way too much time. I wish we had talked a little earlier. But if
yeah.
you sit with it and really solve the problem, mm-hmm. it just helps.
Yeah.
To, you know.
I agree.
Well, okay, last question.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to touch on this because you do have a lot of kids, and this is a departure from design. But, you know, what advice do you have for other moms of many in terms of finding the time for self-care when you've got lots of little kids?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, the first thing that pops in my head is I want to go, like, it gets better.
I know, right?
Just wait it out. I know. It's horrible. You know, I mean, I think of that. Remember that video series of, like, you know, kids in high school where you have, like, Tim Gunn telling him, it gets better. You know,
yeah.
It gets better.
Yes.
And I feel
yes.
like it's a little bit like that. I mean, I don't have toddlers anymore. I don't have babies. Those are very high maintenance times as far as
like
physicality. You know,
make sure they don't die at all.
Right.
All the time.
Keep them alive.
And that really does. That phase ends,
right.
and so it changes. So I'm going, oh, if you're a young mom listening, what can I tell you? You know, like, steal any little moments you can. I mean, all those things. But what happens, I feel like, is at the time that you have enough time, you're also you're aging. So it's like your whole
true.
Your whole
mm-hmm.
you have to reinvent everything. Like, what are your systems? What do you care about? I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so it's a topic I love. I don't know that I even have great answers, but it's an ongoing thing. It's my experience.
You just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
Ever shifting.
What works at the age of your kids. You're affected by the age of your kids and then your own age of how much time you're going to spend and how much time you have available to spend.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when you finally think you figure it out, the next day everything changes.
Right. Totally.
Be flexible.
Totally. Be flexible. And I feel like where I'm at right now, the current phase is if I'm at a conference, I'm putting on my makeup, I'm putting on my fanciest shoes, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
But like day to day, I might not even wear makeup at all. Like
that
might be fine. You know, it's so I really am in that phase of life where I feel like I don't know that I went out of the house in my 20s without at least a little mascara or something, you know?
Right.
Which I didn't, of course, need it. I should do it now. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. If you find something you like about self-care, because not everyone does. I mean, like, I'm thinking of, like, do you like massages? Great.
Or like a ritual, some sort of
ritual. If there's something, you know, great, make that happen.
Make it happen.
You know,
Yeah.
Light the candle, whatever it is. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we encourage you to check out her book, Design Mom. It is a really fantastic book. It's a great gift book as well.
Thank you.
And then we hear a rumor that
we
might be starting a podcast.
Guys, I'm at a conference over here with you guys. I went to two podcasting classes. So what happened was the survey that I just mentioned, my readers basically told me to stop making video in the nicest possible way. Like they were so gentle about it, but we're like, stop. I'm like, that's hilarious. So they really want a podcast, and I don't even know. Anyway, you guys are the experts. I don't even know anything about it really, and I'm trying to learn and see if it's really going to be the right fit or if it's like. Yeah, no, they think they want a podcast, but, you know, who knows?
Well, if it's anything like your blog, I think it would be very successful.
Yes,
I do.
You.
We look forward to that, so we hope it happens.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
This was a ton of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Continue the selfie conversation with us on Instagram at selfie podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/selfie podcast.
You can also visit our website to check out the resources we've talked about in each episode at selfiepodcast.com. Make sure to subscribe to Selfie on iTunes so that you can catch up with us next week.
A huge thanks to Shepherd Audio for our intro music. Take care.